I asked you a question last week, and God's had us on a few very, very important, vital things for where we are and where God wants to take us, what's taking place from this point moving forward. And last week, I asked you, how high is the sky? And there are going to be a lot of ideas, whether you think about it from a pilot's perspective or a scientific perspective or based on the elements in the air. But the question really is what does God say about everything? What does God say? How high is the sky? And the answer is it's just above your head. It's just beyond you. And the reason I say it's just beyond you is because the Word talks about when you grow up. It spoke of kings that would grow up. It spoke of a nation of people that would grow up. And it says you'll be like a tree touching the sky. And it really doesn't have to do with how highly elevated you are. I mean, in the essence and in the reality of things, we are orbiting in the sky. I mean, the sky in reality is all around us. But in order to know that you touch the sky, touch the heavens of God, and the Word declares that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. And how is that so? I mean, how high are heavenly places? How high is the kingdom of God? How far away is it? And how far away are you? I mean, based on what you experience, what you suffer, how the trials you go through, the trying times. And it's so often considered that we are as close to God as our day is going well. If the day is going well, if the day is going good, then we must be doing things right. You know, if everything's falling into place, then we must be doing things right. I mean, maybe we've reached the sky. Maybe we've touched the heavens. Maybe we're just high enough. But the Word says that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And only your faith can tell you how high the heavens are. Only your faith can determine how high the sky is. I mean, if you have a little toddler and the sky is just beyond its reach, maybe its reach is 2 or 3 feet off the floor. If you're someone that's 6 feet tall, maybe it's a bit above 6 feet tall. But how high is the sky? How high are the heavens? How close are you to your breakthrough? And how close are you to what God really wants for you? Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know why your faith is so powerful? It's because of who your faith is in. It's that simple. Your faith is so powerful, not because we have a particular measure that is metered out. Maybe you have this much faith, and maybe I have this much faith, and maybe you have that much faith. It isn't metered out like that. It's who your faith is in, and faith isn't an inconsistent spirit. Faith isn't an inconsistent idea. Faith is consistent. Faith is who do you believe in? What is your faith in? Or better yet, who is your faith in? Now, the struggle isn't really because we don't have enough faith in God. The struggle is typically because we have too much faith in ourselves. And when we have faith in ourselves, what we see is we see the measure of our faith, and for the most part, it just isn't large enough. It just isn't big enough. Your faith is great because of who your faith is in. The greatness of faith isn't that we have the ability to believe something or to believe someone. It's that we have the faith to believe God, not just in God. I think everyone, even if they say they don't, everyone to some degree believes in God. The Word says only a fool would look up and say, there is no God. I mean, if there is creation, there has to be a creator. Something can't come out of nothing unless nothing is created by God. And because God, again, is the fullness of everything, and this needs to really soak into your spirit and into your mind, because God is everything. He is the fullness of all things. Think about that. God is the fullness of all things. So if my faith is in God, what kind of faith do I have? I have absolute perfect faith. Your faith is perfect. You have absolute perfect faith. But the Word teaches us to set our eyes on Him and not to be distracted, as the opening was today, but be distracted by Him. If there's a distraction in your life, don't let the distraction be that you don't see what you want to see. Forget your emotions and what you're thinking about in your natural mind, because the Word says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It doesn't see things the way they really are. Your mind sees things based on the faith you have in yourself, how successful you think you can really be if God helps you along a little bit. How faithful, how successful you can be if God just helps you make it through, or if God just gives you a little more of something, or maybe a little less of something you don't want. But the truth is faith disciplines our minds so we can come into the unity of the faith. And what is that? The knowledge of the Son of God. To what? To a whole, to a perfect, to a complete man. Remember the 23rd Psalm says it like this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's say what's really being said. If the Lord truly is your shepherd, you won't lack any good thing. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. But when things seem to go upside down, we think that either God is not in it or we've done something wrong. But I'm here to tell you, because God is complete in all his way, and Jesus said, "I'm always with you, I'll never leave you or forsake you," there's only one true faith of thought. And that faith of thought is God's arrangement is perfect. God's arrangement is perfect. If Christ is the fullness of the Father manifest in the flesh and was exalted above every name that is given and is seated at the right hand of the Father in his unity with God, the triad, the Trinity, one with God, then there is no way that we can have anything less when we believe in him than the fullness of God and perfect faith. But Paul warned us. He said, listen, if you doubt your faith, a two-souled, a double-minded individual becomes unstable in their ways, not God in his ways. God will bring it to pass. God wills the perfect, you know what the perfect order of God is? Not that God would do it without you, but the perfect order of God is that he does everything he wills to do through your faith. Everything. The word says God created everything for his purpose and his pleasure. So the fortitude, the structural advantage of your faith is that you know who your faith is in. My faith is in the fullness of God. God isn't becoming complete because we're living longer, or we're eating better, or we're thinking wiser. God's fullness is because God is. Jesus said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." Look at the foundation that God has laid for us. In the beginning of time, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word says, "And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep." If you will, you didn't see anything. You saw chaos. And out of chaos, Every element that God created was chaos. Every element, the waters were chaos, the land was chaos, everything was chaos. There was chaos. That's what the word means. It was formless, void, without real direction. It was just there. God's given us every element in our lives, but only the faith of man in God in this world brings the order of God's purpose. Only the faith of man, men and women, only the faith of men and women in God brings order to what we consider is chaos. But chaos, in reality, whatever it is you're going through, is an arrangement that God has destined for your faith to bring into perfect order. That's exactly why we look out and we see things that just don't make sense. We figure that if God was in this, why wouldn't it be right? How can this happen, or how can that happen? If God is in the middle of it, wouldn't it be perfect? How do you know all the elements are not perfect? As a matter of fact, every element in your life, every event in your life is arranged by God. The Lord is my shepherd. If he really is, I will not want any good thing. He then makes me to lie down in green pastures. He then leads me beside still or quieted waters. And then he restores your soul. What does he do? Well, he's leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even if it feels like I'm walking through the valley of the shadows of death, I don't fear. And there's the fear factor. Fear works through love. And when there is fear, love is not made perfect and faith is not optimized. We go through, consider God saying, "I want to do exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond all that you ask or think." Because if God just ordered life, if he ordered life in the way that just made things seem right to you, you would never know the fullness of God, and that's what you're all about. Till we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge, the full knowledge, the perfect knowledge of the Son of God. That's heaven and earth uniting right there. Till we come into the knowledge. So how does that happen? Well, not when everything is going the way that you consider, or not even the way you may have asked God to make it happen. You ask God to do something and he will answer your prayer. But the arrangement of God belongs to him, not to you. God told Adam and Eve, he said, I've arranged the world. And he said, but this is what needs to happen. I'm going to give you a word. And then you have to have faith that my word is the only truth, no matter what you see. And through your faith in my word, I will arrange everything in such perfect order that it will remain forever and ever and ever. This God, my God, his way is perfect. But when you say you believe God, but you don't like the arrangement, then what you're really saying is, I really like God to do things the way I need to see them, so I know he's arranged them correctly. And he said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But he wasn't separating us from his will, his ways, or his thoughts. What he's doing is bringing into perspective the prophetic anointing of his Spirit, saying, I want you to prophesy a thing you can't see with your eyes. I want you to hear a prophetic word that may make no sense to you whatsoever, and I want you to be excited about it. I want you to feel purpose-driven about it. I want you to know that your faith isn't in me helping you do what you need to do, God is saying, but I want you to know that your faith in me helps you to do what you could never do, no matter how much help you got, but only that God was doing it through your faith. So he says to Adam, in the chaos of the world, he says, animals without names, birds without direction, seas without order, streams without order, I want you to take dominion, and I want you to bring the order of everything. And we're going to begin by naming the animals and creating an order by identity. That's your first job. Adam could have certainly said, I have no idea. I haven't been around very long. These are my first few days. How would I possibly know how to name the animals? But the word says that Adam opened his mouth. Why? Because he believed God. And the word says, and then whatever came out of Adam's mouth, that was what God deemed that animal to be. If he called it a lion, that's the order that God had arranged. And when it came out of Adam's mouth, it was established and said, there it is. God said, it is established in the earth. It is a lion, and it will always be a lion. God's word in your mouth is the same order. The word says, if we believe those things which we say will come to pass, then we will have whatsoever we say. First step, you have to keep your word. If you say something and don't do it, you don't have faith in your word. So you don't believe what you say is going to come to pass. So there's no way God's going to do it, because if you can't believe the word that comes out of your mouth, you won't believe the word that comes out of God's mouth. So first step, be a person of your word. Say a thing and bring it to pass, whether small or great. The centurion's power was that he had faith in his own word. He said, I know my word has authority and power. If I say to do a thing, it'll be done. If I'm told to do something, I do it. I know the power of the word. See, it isn't the level of your faith that is individually different in everyone or unique in everyone. It's whom you have placed that faith in that makes your faith great. And God has given you the power to be perfect in your faith, not just your faith, but the faith of Christ dwells on the inside of you. The word says that Jesus brought everything into perfect order. He was the fullness of the Father manifest in the flesh. He was the perfect order of faith. No matter what it looked like, no matter what he had to go through, no matter who was responsible, the whole world was in sin. Everyone was guilty. And he made it clear. He said, if I were to come and to judge you, if I were to say you're a sinner and you deserve death, he said, I would be right. It would be true because you are. But I'm going to edit the story. That's why I came. For God so loved the world that he edited man's future, because God had prophesied it from the beginning of time that there would be a savior, a redeemer. Why? Because man can't live without having faith in the one that makes them perfect. Not talking about you saying everything perfect. Not talking about your little idiosyncrasies, the little things you do and shouldn't do. I'm talking about the fullness of God that dwells on the inside of you, so the words of your mouth begin ordered by the will of the Father. So you become more of a prophetic individual instead of a fearful individual. Faith does something else. Faith teaches you not to be afraid of what you see. Faith teaches you what not to be afraid of when you don't see it. Don't be afraid of what you don't see, and don't be afraid of what you do see. Why? Because my faith is in He who is all things. The Word says that He is the fullness. He is the completeness. Furthermore, the Word says, be perfect. And that's hard for people to palate, because oftentimes you may consider that that means that you have to do everything flawlessly. It's not the flawlessness of your actions. It's the flawlessness of your attitude, the flawlessness of your attitude, and that is, my faith is in Christ alone. Whatever is going on in my life, whatever is happening, if I'm walking by a still water, or if it feels like I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I have to know that there is an arrangement that God has situated for me, and my faith is going to bring perfect order and reveal some aspect, some glory of God that is very necessary in your life, that you have to know in order to walk in the fullness of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Without your faith, you would never know it. Without something pulling on your faith to whatever level or degree, it is necessary for you to walk in the fullness. That's what God will do. So He answered your prayer. Lord, show me your great and mighty things. God, show me your will. Lead me in the way that you want me to go. Do things that exceed my imagination. I want to see my ministry. I want to see my company. I want to see my family. So you ask God to do these things, and God says the arrangement right now is chaos, as it is meant to be. Because I don't want to do this without you. God is saying, I don't want to bring the order without you. I am the order. And I don't want you to try and do it on your own, because that's out of order. But the arrangement between you and I, God is saying, the covenant I have made with you, is I'm not going to put my commandments, my laws, my statutes, basically my heartbeat regarding you, on tablets of stone, but I'm engraving them on your minds and in your hearts, so they're not something you do, they're what you are. It's the heartbeat that's on the inside of you. So the contention, the fighting, the struggling, the warfare ceases to exist. And as Solomon, you're able to stand in the day and say, God has given me rest on every hand. I have neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Therefore, I can build, I can do, I can walk in the fullness of all that God has called me to, and I can bear witness to heaven and earth, so the angels are interested in what's going on in your life. The Word says you're supposed to be a spectacle to men and angels. God used the chaos in the genesis of time in order to bring order through man. He could have done anything He wanted. He could have made the birds say out their own name. He could have made the animals all speak. My name is. God could have done anything. But chaos in the eyes of God is that which is to be ordered by faith in His Word. I used to say God's awesomeness, God's os is chaos. He loves to work in that. Again, God created the thing. You may say in your life, nothing is going on in my life. Well, even more than your nothing, something's going on in your life. You just don't like what it is. You may not like the pause. You may not like the space. You may not like what you're hearing. You may not like what you're seeing. But Jesus said, listen, I need you to know something. It's vitally and vastly important for you to know. I'm the Lord. I'm with you always. Not just am I with you, I am with you in the fullness of the Father. I will be your shepherd. And because I am the fullness of the Father, guess what? As long as I'm your shepherd, you'll lack nothing. As a matter of fact, what you have more than enough of that you may not realize is opportunity to believe God in the way that's going to change your mind. Number one, so being obedient isn't so difficult. It's just the nature of God flowing through you. And you won't be able to brag and say, I did it, because you didn't. So God uses whatever arrangement is necessary to bring into your life, which he's already assigned before you took your first breath. David said, you knew me in my mother's womb. You knit me together. You know who I am. God knows who you are. He knows what's required for you to walk in the fullness, so you're happy. So you're joyful. So you're a witness. So you bear witness to the truth. You bear witness to his will, his word, his wisdom, his power. God is bringing an arrangement, an order into the world like the creation of a brand new nation. God is creating a new nation. New nations. God is instructing new government, and the government will be on his shoulders. God is bringing his kingdom into revelation, not into question. God is taking the division of time and space out of the equation and saying, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Living for Christ, fearing God, having honor and respect to his word is the most restful, peaceful, powerful, joyful, hopeful life you could possibly ever live. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. But you have to have faith. My faith is perfect. Say it. My faith is perfect. It's not mine. It's what was given to me. And everything God does, every arrangement, every order is perfect. God has orchestrated everything in your life, Romans 8:28. All things, not may, could, all things have to work together for the good. We go off in impetuous ways and trying to do things in the way we feel we can get it done, get it go. Sometimes God says, stop, you're thinking incorrectly about who I am in you. You're just thinking about who you are in me and what we can do. And that unity between God and man is not close-knit. You're not feeling the heart of God. We're just feeling anxious to see God perform. It was very misleading when Jesus performed for the people, not what he did, but the way they thought about what he did. What they said is, do it again. Do it again. Show us another sign. Prove that you are who you say you are. And it got so chaotic, so crazy, so wrong. They said, let's wait for him to do a miracle. And when he does, let's condemn him for it because it's a Sabbath day. Right. Now, something's really wrong with an individual when you say, if he is God, let him act and do like God. And if he does like God, then let's condemn him for doing a miracle. What part of he just did a miracle did you not? Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. But God's saying, but I want to share them with you. That's why I created you. God invested a lot of love. I can't even say time because he is all time. He invested a lot of who he is in you in order for you to walk in the interpretation of what the kingdom of God is. You are the interpretation of the kingdom of God. Jesus was the interpretation of the will of the Father. What is God's perfect order? That everything he does through you and your faith in him. That's his perfect order. Why? Because he's love. And that's what love does. Love wants to share. Love brings unity. Love unites. So stop using the people around you and love them. Admonish one more highly than yourself. Can you do that? That one thing will keep you going around and around in circles all your life until you start admonishing, until you start giving God the glory due his name, until you start seeing the manifestation of God's creation and design in his people. God taught me a long time ago. I used to preach. I've been preaching most of my life. He taught me years and years ago not to depend on people's response, just like I'm doing today. Not to depend on what you say or what you do. I can't see your faces because the light's in mine. That's good for me. Because God said, never look at their faces. Look at their spirits. And what that said to me is, see them after the order of my will. See them as my arrangement. Whether they hate you, whether they love you, regardless of what's going on, God will use every element in your life in order to bring the perfect order into the arrangement he has set you in. And that, my friend, is power. I'm not afraid because I don't see what I need to see. I'm not afraid because I'm seeing what I'm seeing. I'm excited. So I say things like, this is the greatest season of my life, when things are going radically strange all around me and I can't make any sense of them. But I say, God, do in me, not God, bring this to pass. He said, seek my kingdom. And he said, everything will come into its perfect arrangement. Seek first the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Like any kingdom, it's the demonstration of the mind of the king. That's what the kingdom is. God's mind, God's will, God's purpose. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he humbled himself to the will of God. Why? Because that's where the fullness of God is manifest. That's where all those little things you want to fall into place come into place. It's that box of puzzle pieces that God has already assigned its perfect order, and he puts them out and he says, we're going to do this together. And we're not going to do it any other way. And not only are we going to do it together, but you're going to do it with my attitude, which is the word for spirit. You're going to do it with my spirit. You're going to do it with my faith. You're going to do it with my word. And we're going to get it done together. That's the arrangement of God. So when you see things begin to go out of place, it feels like your puzzle pieces are all disordered. No, they're arranged perfectly for you. And then God says, Julie, where does this piece go? And Julie has the tendency at first to say, I can know all things. I can do all things through Christ. I think it goes right here. And then God can say to Leanne, with the disorder of your life, what are you going to do with these pieces? And Leanne could have the tendency to say, God, I'm beside myself. I'm not sure. And God would say, Leanne, what are you going to do? And Leanne would say, exactly the will of the Father. I know exactly where this piece goes. And by the order of faith, it's going to fall into perfect position, and God's going to use your hand and your faith to do it. How do I bring all these elements together, Dimitri? How do I make them come into their assignment, their arrangement? Because God is saying, because the order of your thoughts have been given to you by me, but your faith will bring them into such order of arrangement that one phone call, one sit down face to face, God will draw the essence of your faith, just like virtue came from the body of Jesus, and it will be agreed on in one day's time. You know the power of influence, but God is revealing the influence of his power in you. This is that day. This is why it is not to be laborious. It is not by the cunning craftiness of our minds or our ability to say what we know and what we can do, but just simply God has assigned and sent me, and they will believe you, and the Lord will bring the arrangement and everything associated with all that is owed you. The kingdom of God will pay you. The kingdom of God will reinforce you. The kingdom of God will establish your steps where you know I am ordered of the Lord. You are not called to run. You are called to stand, and God will make you a pinnacle of faith, and the Lord will be glorified through all that you say and all that you do, and you will take credit for none, saying, not by might or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The order of your fast, God ordained it, but your fast in this season, says the word of the Lord, is that you fast your mind in that you rest in what I'm saying to you and know that my peace will lead you in the way you should go. You won't have to go any further than the outstretch of your faith or your arms. God says, I'll bring it within your grasp, and you will congratulate and you will greet as though you're meeting a new friend. These are the greatest seasons of your life. The Lord has brought you into this time. God's order is perfection. Now, man doesn't like that idea, and I'll tell you why. Because man's faith is typically in man. And we think because we've been given something, or because someone blessed you, maybe someone gave you a lot of money in your ministry, or some relative left you an inheritance, or someone just said, I'm here to serve you. We can tend to think that that's the order, but that is never going to be the order of God, because it isn't perfectly arranged by faith in your life. Maybe it was for them. But it has to be arranged by faith in your life. And so we tend to think backwards, which is where doubt comes in. Anytime doing right seems too hard, you're doing right wrong. Come to me, all you that labor, Jesus said, and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me. Take my yoke, my burden on you, and learn of me. What is the burden? To learn of me. Is that heavy? No, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Peace I leave with you. It's a gift. My peace I give to you. Will you accept it? If we believe God is so mighty and so great and all-powerful, why do we become afraid when He puts us in positions where we have to see the great, mighty, outstretched arm of God? If you're a believer, in all reality, you should be excited, knowing God is doing a great thing. He's really doing a great thing. Something great, something beyond my capability, beyond my past. Something beyond my present. Something prophetic is happening in me and through me. God is pouring out profoundness, and He wants me to know that He's pouring it out of me, just like He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of life-giving water. Out of your belly. It's so perfectly arranged. If you really believe the word of the Lord, you would be excited and not fearful at all. We say we have faith in God, but when someone speaks and says something, we doubt that God is going to perform according to His will in our lives. What is His will? My thoughts towards you are good. There's so many, so abundant, you couldn't count them. I will for you, God says, things you wouldn't even will for yourself. To care for you, to comfort you, to bring you good resolves in all things. Everything. Everything. But you have to take you out of the equation. You can't have faith in you. You can't have faith in the world. You can't have faith in what you don't see. And you can't have faith in what you see that you don't want to see. You have to have faith in God. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God, He is one. He is the only one. His order is absolutely divine and perfect. And out of nothing, God loves to do everything. And when He's moving you beyond you, you may find yourself in the space of nothing. An empty canvas. Space. Stillness. Quietness. Be still. And know that I'm God. Be still. We should be able to be active in our stillness. What I'm referring to is to be quiet and listen for God. And not the necessity to just go beyond you by you, but to believe God beyond you. How high is the sky? Just beyond me. So what do? I reach up and touch it. I'm going to go beyond the reach of my arm. God's taking me beyond the order of my will, because He's doing what He said. He's doing it exceedingly and abundantly. If He does it according to your will, He's not doing what He said exceedingly, abundantly, above. Because I'm going to tell you what, your order, your will never satisfy you. Promise. Yes. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never, ever satisfied. You get from God what you ask for, I guarantee you. If not days later, minutes, hours later, you're going to think of wanting something its equal or something to complement it. Because we're not created to be satisfied by what we can do on our own. We are only satisfied when we're walking in the fullness of the order that God has given us to walk in. It happens, guys. It happens. It turns out the way God wanted it to. It falls into place beautifully. It's orchestrated by God. Because guess what? No matter what you think, you're not here alone. God is with you. Guess what? No matter how quiet it is, no matter how deaf your ears may feel to the word of the Lord, His word is nigh you. It's close to you, even in your own mouth. The Lord is ever present in His fullness. God can't be present in partialness. God is present in His fullness, and He's fully present with you. He's fully acquainted with you. The order and the arrangement of everything in your life has been orchestrated by the will of God. You may not know it, but whatever is taking place in your life right now that God has told you to do, that the Spirit of the Lord has led you to do, that your faith has directed you to do, it was planned way, way back before you even knew it. You may say, I wished I had done this then. No, you're supposed to do it today. Oh, I wished I did that when I was younger. No, you're supposed to do it today when you're older. God will give you longevity. He will incentivize your heart. He'll give you strength. He'll give you the youth. I'll run and not be weary. I'll walk and not faint. This is the perfect time. I will say of the Lord, this is the day that God has made, and I rejoice in you, and I'm glad in it. Your faith is more than enough. Your faith is perfect. Just keep your faith in who faith belongs. Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher, the perfecter, the founder of your faith, who has called you to walk in his glory and his virtue. God wants you to know the intensity of his love for you. He wants you to know the fullness of how he thinks. He wants to think through you. He didn't make you to be an ornament that he puts up on a shelf and stares at. He didn't just make you a glob of clay that just sits there year after year. Every time God touches that clay, he turns it into something appropriate for that exact moment in time. But he's constantly going to be transforming. Paul said, don't be conformed. Be transformed. Metamorpho. Transform into a. Be changed by the order of God's perfect. Every single moment of every single day, God is arranging something perfectly for you. And you can't wake up in the morning without it being an arrangement of God. Did you hear me? You can't wake up in the morning without it being an arrangement of God. Rejoice in it. That's why the word says, I rejoice in the Lord when always. And I'm telling you all, again, rejoice. This is the greatest season of your life. And you'll never find a better day than today until today happens again. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout this morning. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you for the chaos in everyone's life, because it is exactly what you use to bring the order of your will. Everyone here, everyone under the sound of these words today, be encouraged by the word of the Lord. It happens. It comes together. But it's not going to come together the way it was. It is going to fall apart from the way it was. It's going to be taken apart from the seams. And God will bring in new fabric, new minds, new technology, new design, purity, clarity, purpose, and power. Because when God speaks, he makes everything as he is. Perfect is always perfect. Perfect remains perfect. Perfect never turns into anything less than perfect. Imperfect is simply that which is void of the will of God. Perfect remains forever. Jesus, the word says, he was made perfect through the things which he suffered. What does that mean? He brought everything into completeness. This is the greatest season of your life. Eli, who referred as speaking on God's behalf as God, the God of perfect knowledge. God of perfect knowledge. He knows you. He knows every perfect order and arrangement for you. And he has satisfied himself. He has satisfied himself with the arrangement he has given you. Now he wants you to walk satisfied in the order and the arrangement he has called you to walk in, so he can bring it to order through your faith. And when God, and as God, which is happening right here, right now, today, as he brings it into order, my friends in Italy, as he's bringing it into perfect order, he will make subject every influence, every idea that is perverse, that is backward, that is not in line with the will of the word of faith. and he will bring everything into perfect harmony and perfect order. So be excited. God is creating a brand new world around you, a faith, a brand new land, a brand new time. It will be fortified and it will remain for generations to come if you follow to pursue the word of the Lord and do not doubt or waver in your heart, not of your own strength, but by the Spirit of the Lord that dwells on the inside of you. Surrender yourself in contriteness to the will of the Father. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will be your covering. He will keep and he will elevate beyond your imagination. God is doing it differently this time, and it pleases him. This is the order of God. When he does it in your life, when God is doing something in your life, understand that sometimes it's going to displease you. Or the word of the Lord wouldn't come together in perfect harmony like it does. If he says, my ways are not your ways, and God does it in your life, which is the best way to do it, his way, and your way doesn't match, you're not going to like it. But if you love him, you'll find joy in it, and God will change your mind, and you'll begin to love what God is doing in your life. Isn't that just simple and just the way it is? And his way orders the perfect order in your life, because it's our way that keeps us unhappy, dissatisfied, uncertain, a sense of feeling unappreciated, unwelcome, uninvolved. This is the order of God to bring into unity, to bring into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God all that will bow down and worship him. You're worshipers of God. How powerful is that? Your faith is assigned you by God, and he's told you who to place it in. Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher, the perfecter, the founder of your faith. And that order is orchestrated perfectly by God's will. And who is your shepherd? The Lord, he is your shepherd. So what's going to happen? You want no good thing. He will bring it in the order of his fullness, so it remains. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit, fruit of love, fruit of joy, fruit of peace, fruit of righteousness. And it's not you trying to do it. See, when you're failing, it's you. When you're succeeding, it's him. When it's hard, it's you. When it's easy, it's him. And he says, come and trust me. God, I need more. God, I need less. God says, you need me. I am more and never less. I need it now. I am before then. I am before your now, God says. I am your now, and I am your that which is to come. Do you know who he is? Great and mighty God. How could you possibly see him with your eyes? How could you possibly know him with your head? Then he wouldn't be God. But he reveals himself through us. So we are united in the fullness of who Christ in us is. And that's what today is about. God is making the order right. Yes. This is the kingdom of God. Yes. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Yes. Father, we thank you for your word, the intensity and the power and the presence of your spirit, your life, your love. God, that you were with us. And we pull upon the heavens of God today and we say, Lord, pour out your will and your wisdom. Let us bathe and bask in the goodness of the Lord. Make confident your people that you are God Almighty, the Lord ever present. As you said to Moses, tell them I am God with you. I am the Lord in the midst of you. So I come to you in the fullness of Jesus Christ, his word, his will, his voice, his presence, his spirit, his power. Nothing about us is any good if it's us, but all things through him and by him make us the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. He and he alone is the Lord God Almighty, but he is the Lord God Almighty, and he does will to be manifest, to make himself known in and through you, though you come together in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of the living God. And Father, for it, we give you praise today. We worship you. Let it be as you said, Lord, in your word. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Pray this prayer with me. Say, it is no longer I. Come on, say it like you mean it, with conviction. It is no longer I. Let your ear hear your mouth make a prophetic declaration. It is no longer I, but it's Christ that dwells in me. And the life I now live in this body, in this flesh, I live by the faith, come on, of the Son of the living God. And great is God, greatly is He to be praised, and great is the Lord in me. And I praise you, Lord. Say it, I praise you. I thank you for your word, God. I can walk in its fullness. I walk in the integrity of your word, God. My faith is in your word. My heart is set on you. Now let's pull on heaven. If you have your wristband, you can tug on that. If you don't, just grab your rope around your neck just like this. If you don't have one, just do this. And say, heavens of God. Come on, heavens of God. The word of the Lord commands me to release from the earth. I release from the earth your will, your word, your wisdom. Let your salvation sweep through the earth like a mighty storm. Let your spirit rain down on the earth and call to everything in the earth, every seed of promise, and let it spring forth. Let it come out of the ground. Let it make itself known. Those redeemed by your blood, those healed by your spirit and power, those raised from the dead, the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the sinner saved, the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, walking in the fullness of who you are. No weapon formed prospering, but God, you glorified in all things. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Your kingdom come, my God, I pray. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So let it be, Lord, according to your will and according to your word. In Jesus' name, everybody shout it. Yeah!